I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. Sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone.
So the main thing that I've been alluding to, by the way, I'm Frank Vaughn. It is May 27, 2025. In terms of working on, for the last 3 weeks, I've been sitting in on meetings with We Unify, this conference, which is happening September 19th, 20th, 21st in Calgary at the BMO Center, right where the Stampeders play downtown. It's going to have 40 speakers. There's a lot of people that are going to be speaking that aren't listed on this video just yet. And I'm going to be one of the influencers that's responsible for, I actually don't know the specifics of what I'll be responsible for. A lot's still up in the air. There's 110 days or more between now and then. But I can tell you that I'll have some kind of role, whether it's interviewing guests, whether it's interviewing the floor, doing roundtables. I'll be there. I'll be there all those days. So it might be something for you to consider. A lot of the reason I didn't do a video yesterday was I was on the phone all day, talking to other people around this country, other influencers, other heads of organizations, trying to convey the message that this is going to be like a CPAC meets E3. And for those of you who, you might know what CPAC is if you watch this channel, but you might not know what E3 is. E3 is the, it's a game show, and then there's other video game awards as well, where you bring together all the influencers, the Twitch streamers, and they produce a show. This will be like that. CPAC meets influencers, all sandwiched together, 40-plus speakers, 40-plus influencers, all working together to try and convey a conservative message. And it's welcome to all, whether you are a federalist, whether you're a sovereignist. It's time to get together, have these conversations, have debate. It might be a heck of a weekend, and so I'm going to invest my time and money going down there and being part of it moving forward. And a lot of the work that'll come out of this and arise out of this will happen offline. I won't be live streaming the phone calls and the meetings and all those things. But if you're an influencer, and there's a lot of guys who have a lot more subscribers and followers than I do, who I know watch my videos, if you're interested in being a part of this, reach out and contact me and we'll have a conversation on the phone. So hopefully you can be there. We'll be talking about this more as we move forward into the future. It should be a good show. And if you want to learn more or find out about ticket pricing so that you can plan ahead, go to weunify.ca. It has a list of the speakers, which is being updated all the time. It's going to be a powerful lineup. I'm familiar with some of the people that have not been announced yet. And I can't believe that I get to be a part of this at the ground level. So check it out. Now, unfortunately, the top line item today may render all of what we just seen and talked about irrelevant, because the Europeans are committed to trying to trigger World War III, which would be a nuclear war. MERS says Western alliance has lifted absolutely all range limits for arms sent to Ukraine. They can hit Russia anywhere at any time. The showdown between NATO and Russia and Ukraine has escalated in a big way. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz has announced Monday that Germany, France, the UK, the US have lifted prior restrictions on how far weapons they supply to Ukraine can reach. Absolutely no limits. There are no range limits anymore for weapons delivered to Ukraine, not from Britain, the French, or from us. Also, not from the Americans. Russian media very quickly seized on the comments as representing a major turning point in NATO policy vis-a-vis Ukraine. Bloomberg, too, has emphasized this gives Ukraine the green light to strike deep inside of Russia. This is another one of those Russian red lines that we are going tripping across as thousands of Ukrainians continue to die daily. Thousands of Russians continue to die daily. The war's end is nowhere in sight, and the Europeans are desperate to keep it going. Desperate. Because if they can keep this war going, they can further justify the repression of the populist wave that is trying to sweep Europe. We talked in the last video about little Belgium and how all of the opposition members of the party that got elected in a certain city were arrested for election fraud. They didn't commit election fraud. They got arrested because they won. The interference in the Romanian elections, France banning Le Pen from running in the next presidential election, outright talk of banning the AfD in Germany, the most populist or the most popular party, according to polls right now. Democracy is not being protected by these people. It is being actively opposed. Their agenda is fundamentally anti-democratic, and they let you know. Every single day, they're willing to sacrifice your life and your children's lives in order for them to cling to power. Meanwhile, there's something else happening in this country. The king is here. If you're not aware, you do have a king, and that king is so important that we're willing to spend taxpayer dollars in the millions to facilitate him delivering a throne speech, which merely repeats the talking points of the Liberal Party of Canada. There has been some noise about the mention of the legal rights, not rights, the legal, the respect of lawful gun owners that came out of the king's mouth. I wouldn't read too much into that, because if you read the laws that are now on the books, including the orders in council, being a lawful gun owner could just simply mean handing in all your guns. The laws suck. So I'm not really sure how we can infer that there's a major new shift in Liberal policy towards satisfying lawful legal gun owners, but I digress. Look at this. God save the king. What a great image. No modern society worth the name, no nation worth the name nation has a king that lives overseas and celebrates this. Look at the money that's being spent on this man to deliver a speech of simple liberal talking points that Carney could have delivered himself and saved everybody a bunch of money. But we all know Carney's not introducing a budget. He's governing by edict through the King's Governor's General's office and signature. He's spending billions of dollars in excess of what we have. He has promised to add $250 billion to our debt. So he doesn't really care how much money he spends. It's your money. He's never going to miss a meal. He's never going to feel the impact. So it doesn't matter how much he spends. The king takes a royal salute, and God Save the King is played at the National War Memorial. It makes me nauseous. The Majesties didn't just visit a country. They touched hearts in Ottawa. That day, the spirit of Canada was found in its tradition and genuine warmth. This is why I believe that Western Canada has got to separate from this monstrosity. We should be pursuing a republic. We should be pursuing greater citizen rights. We should be running from a king in 2025. I remember Justin Trudeau. He came out once and he gave a speech and he said, because it's whatever it was, 2015, that's why we had to be modern. That's why we had to be woke. That's why we had to do all the sustainability and DEI and all the nonsense. But somehow in 2025, we're all supposed to rally around monarchy, around a king, instead of pursuing greater autonomy, not just for the provinces, but for the citizen who has been repressed by the federal state here in Canada for over a century. Instead of more rights, you have less rights. You've had less rights since 1982 when your country was replaced, when your Bill of Rights was replaced with a Charter of Rights and Freedoms that the king's representatives can suspend whenever they want and never face any consequences, even if they did it wrong. On and on and on it goes. God save the king. I don't care if I'm in a minority. I don't care if I stand alone. This is not what I want for my future. I do believe it is very symbolic that the king is the one who delivered the throne speech, that Mark Carney's first priority was to invite the king to Canada. Because Mark Carney intends to rule this country through the Governor General's office, he doesn't really need Parliament. Let's watch this little clip. This is Melanie Jolie. She's going to get up and she's going to try and talk to Mark Carney. And he's going to wave her off, and he's going to wave her off again, and away she goes. Now that's the future. Now the interesting thing is the Liberal base, always so malleable, always so changeable, always their opinions are so conveniently shifted. First it was elbows up, we're going to war with the United States, damn the country. If we got to shut down the economy, we'll do it. We're going to fight Donald Trump. And then as soon as the election comes, Mark Carney goes down there, he kisses the ring, and all of that is off the table except for a few whispers in the media, and they go along with it like it's normal operating procedure. Now, instead of sunny ways, they're looking at this and they're saying, this signals a new chapter in Canadian political life. This is the end of a certain style of government, sunny ways, and the beginning of a more authoritarian, a more dictatorial government. And that's a good thing, according to the left. Go read their comments. It's kind of insane. Now, I'm no fan of the Liberal ministers that Carney has surrounded himself with, but he's going to dispense with them. That's why we're not going to get a budget. That's why he spent $73 billion through the Governor General's office. He is here to rule like a king. And at various points during the campaign, I pointed out in my videos how there is a very vicious streak to this man. And you've seen it come out. All the well-spoken, careful words that he says in front of the media, if you see where he's caught off script or off camera, there's an angry man at the core of this guy. There's a guy with some kind of personality issue. And you can see it right here when he waves Melanie Jolie off. He sees himself as above the rest of us. If you've read his book, Values, as I have, you understand that he sees himself above all of you. He sees himself as your manager, the man in a position to make better decisions for you than you yourself. And you just, maybe not you watching this, but a good chunk of this country just made him prime minister. And we're going to bear the consequences. Another thing we've covered on this channel at length is the perversification of public education. At a baseline, I've talked about how school counselors, teachers, and principals are taking your kids to gay clubs without your knowledge. They're coaching your children into sex changes and embracing their gender identity, often without parental consent or knowledge. And as we've seen multiple times already, this is not a new thing, even here in my dear Saskatchewan. We've seen the sexually explicit material they're feeding to minors. This is all in an effort, and this has been my thesis for some time. If you can say that a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old has the ability to make the decision about their gender, to engage sex change surgery, to sign a document, and I've seen this myself. I have documents sitting on my desktop. I should almost show them again, but I've showed them in previous videos, where a minor with a doctor can sign a consent form which lists all the ill effects of hormone therapy, that your sex organs will be stunted, that they will not function, that you'll be sterile, increased cancer risk, increased risk of heart disease, permanent changes in your voice and body and function, and an acknowledgement that you will never be able to change what you biologically are. That a 12 and 13-year-old with some kind of activist doctor, because a lot of these doctors use their degrees to hide their activism behind, and they're engaged in sterilizing thousands of children all across this country. So the idea that a child can consent to this kind of mutilation lowers the age of consent in general. And I think that's what we're being driven towards. When you see the normalization of little toddlers at the hands of your MLAs. So here in Saskatchewan, we have members of the NDP who take their toddlers to drag shows where men in drag strip for money, and they even send their kids up to put dollar bills in their underwear. It's the sexualization of children. It's the deification of perversion. It's the lowering of the age of consent. And mark my words, if we keep going down this road in 5 or 10 years, you will have a 65-year-old man walking down the road holding hands with a 10-year-old, and you won't know if that's granddad with his grandson or granddaughter, or if it's a man with his lover. That's where they want to take us. That's where this all goes. This is Daniel Smith on screen. Warning, graphic content. Albertans deserve to know what's really being shown in to children in some of our kindergarten to grade 9 schools. May I remind you, they can't gamble. They can't rent pornography. They can't vote. They can't serve in the military. At this age, I believe, even in grade 9, you can't legally hold a job. You can't drive. There's a lot of things you can't do. But you can go to your public school library and you can take out graphic sexual content and read it without parental knowledge. You can get counseled into sex change procedures, hormone therapy, all the gender nonsense without parental knowledge. There's a disconnect there. There's a disparity there. We created a society where we decided we were going to protect children, not just from sexual exploitation, but also from labor exploitation. We created something called childhood. This is a point I bring up often. Childhood. This idea that kids should be able to explore the world free of the hang-ups of adults. The responsibility to work. So at 5 years old, they're not getting shoved in the coal mine. The freedom to at least have a legal framework where predation is less of a risk, or that predation actually carries healthy consequences, so there's a bit of an incentive not to abuse kids. We created all this stuff. We created childhood in the post-World War II world. It's never existed before in the way that it has, in the beautiful way that it does now for many people, because normal citizens, normal people are not down with this stuff, but many are afraid to speak up. Look, you got to protect your kids. You got to find your balls. It's time to speak up. You all say the same thing. Like, I've seen so many people say the same thing. You're afraid of consequences. Your one duty is to protect children. That's the one duty we should all share. You shouldn't fear consequences for protecting kids. Here I am in my name, and I'm going to keep speaking about it, and I'm still living my life. You should be doing the same thing. This isn't about banning books, Daniel Smith says. It's about protecting kids from graphic, sexually explicit content that has no place in the classroom. Parents are right to be upset, as many of our kids are being exposed to age-inappropriate material that strips away their innocence at far too young an age. We're drawing a line. Review the content for yourself, but please know that it is graphic and not suitable for minors. I don't need to review it. I've already reviewed it in the past when it's come up here in Saskatchewan and other places. I understand that in BC and Ontario, the government supports this filth being fed to your children. This is at the heart of why Canada is broken. We're looking at children as a demographic to target for sexual perversion. Our teachers and our public educators, many of them are down with this idea, and the ones that aren't are afraid to speak up. If you're not going to protect kids, who are you going to protect? Kids don't need this. Childhood is a unique experience. You only get it once. then all the hang-ups of adulthood come crashing down upon you. And then you have to deal with those things. The sanctity of childhood, the protection of children, the protection of children from sexual exploitation. Because that's the other thing. This is a doorway. When you allow this kind of content, when you do this gender nonsense, when you create this environment of tolerance for this type of perversion, you create an environment that is ripe for abuse from pedos, from people who actually want to exploit children and use them. You allow them to operate in plain sight. One of the things I've covered on this channel is how a lot of these abusers are exhibitionists. They actually want to take the risk. They get off on the risk. I know people who were ritually abused as children. And I mean, there's so many stories I've been told about where and when, but it's like the parents are asleep in the next room. Or it's a family gathering, and every room in the house is filled with sleeping people, and the predator gets them on the way to the bathroom. Or they're in a public park, and the predator, with people all around, finds a place in the bush to do the abuse. They love it. They feed off it. They're sick individuals. They shouldn't be tolerated by society. There should be no wiggle room on this. If you exploit children, if you sexually abuse children, I think there's a good case for capital punishment, but at the very least, castration. And there's people who say, well, that's a violation of human rights, Frank. It's terrible that the state would do such a thing. At the same time as they would celebrate having a king. If state power exists for any reason, if there is one valid usage of state power, should it not be protecting children from rape? My God, people, it's incredible. But anyway, Daniel Smith, at least in some way, some measure, is moving on this. Now, I'm going to go back to my profile because, of course, there's outrage out there. And it's incredible. Lori Sigurdsson says, make no mistake, this is about banning books. And Smith's administration is not the first in history to target and ban books seen as contrary to its ideology in order to control public discourse. Remember her name. Remember the name of anybody who would dare come out and speak against what Daniel Smith is doing. Because this is just the first step. She needs to go a lot further. I recognize that. And I ask her a very pointed question. Why do you support the sexualization of minors? All of you are extremely suspect in your motives. What are they doing? Leave the kids alone. And if you don't want to leave the kids alone, I have to ask, why? We in Western Canada desperately need to blaze a new trail because this is the direction. All the things in this video, all the things in my other videos, whether it's money laundering, the drug trafficking, the reckless spending, the perversification of children, all of these things are well entrenched in the federal government. They're well entrenched in provincial politics. And the CPC, as much as I voted for them in the last election, lack the courage to really address these issues head on. I hope they find their courage because they desperately need to find their courage. They're the only political party in a position to actually put a stop to this. It's not even a liberal agenda. It is a radical leftist perverse agenda. It is so destructive. It's fundamentally, I mean, Mark Carney, he is the anthropomorphification of the end of the nation. Nobody signifies the end of the nation. It's so funny because they campaigned under Team Canada. And yet Mark Carney's here to end this country and everything that we valued in the past. And people are celebrating it. Carla Beck is the NDP leader here in Saskatchewan. Even though she lost the election by some, whatever it was, 12 points, 15 points, I can't remember off the top of my head right now, she came very close to actually winning the election. If a few thousand votes shifted in a few ridings, the minority would have had a majority government. That's how scary it is. That's how close Saskatchewan came. Carla Beck, Saskatchewan will never be the 51st state. Canada is a beautiful country that needs to stay together, and talk of separatism is bad for our economy. Why is it so difficult for Premier Mo to do the right thing? Premier Mo is allowing people to have a conversation. And I'll tell you, after church last Sunday, I went out for lunch. And in some of the groups that I was sitting down with talking right here in this province, people were openly talking about separatism, openly talking about the fact that they don't understand why the Canadian government is being so unreasonable vis-a-vis the United States, and talking about many of the policies that Donald Trump has deployed being good for people. No tax on tip, no tax on overtime. These ideas, which in a highly taxed Canada are very attractive, and also these low tax, in this low tax pro-capital environment that the United States is building is going to draw capital in from all around the world. Capital that I'm sure Saskatchewan and Alberta would like to get a piece of. But we're opposed from actively developing. We're opposed from actively engaging with our economy by the federal government. Why is Carla Beck campaigning and virtue signaling in public like she is a federal politician? Carla, Saskatchewan elected you, not Canada. If you want to strengthen your hand so that you can represent Saskatchewan better, if you want to go to the federal government and get a better deal for the people who elected you, the way that you would do that is allowing the people in this province to have a voice, to have a say, to indicate their dissatisfaction. And dare I say, if they so feel like they want to signal their support for separatism, that strengthens your hands in negotiation, because you can say there's a significant portion of the population that's so fed up they want to leave. So what are you going to do for them to keep them in the country? Instead, you have aligned yourself with the federal government, because I've said this before. Canada the nation, Canada the people, it's not the same thing as Canada the system, Canada the government, Canada the law. What you are aligning yourself with is Canada the system. That system sucks. It needs to change. It needs to go. If there's no change and the system doesn't go and it's not modernized, then we should take our ball and think about leaving. It should be about whatever's best for the province, because you're in provincial politics. You're not in federal politics. If you're gearing up for a run for the federal NDP and you want to become leader, get out of our way then. Because I'll tell you, the conversation around the lunch table in Saskatchewan right now is the value of separation and autonomy. Did you know that I have a website, frankvaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again? And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.